This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Welcome everyone, Baruch Haba, Magmar Chasim Atayva, Guk Ben Shiar. We have a lot to do tonight. Hayoim Katzar V'Hamalach Amruba. The day is short, there's a lot to do. We begin, we're holding in the Aser Simei Tshuva. We're approaching Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur obviously is the last chance. Last chance to reverse any dangerous, any harmful decrees. We know the Chasima, the seal, is not made until Yom Kippur. And obviously the conclusion of Yom Kippur, which is Ne'ilah, is, you know, the final, the last chance. Yaakov Emden tells us that when it comes to Ne'ilah and Yom Kippur, you know, we apply the rule, Lo achshav emasai, if not now, then when? It's the last time, it's an Eis Ratzon, and even if a person is weak, he should say, I'm gibarani, I'm strong, to gird himself, muster up the strength. Rav Yaakov Emden says something very important. He says, if possible, and I'll probably mention this again in Ne'ilah time, but he says, if possible, a person should try to bring himself to tears when Ne'ilah comes. Why? Because we find, if you remember, there was a man by the name of Paro, right? He's a bad guy. And he made a decree called Haben Hayilot Hayaorot Hashlichuhu. Any Jewish boy who would be born, you got to throw him into the river. And obviously his daughter wanted to abide by his rules. His daughter knew she's going to see a little baby in the river. She can't save the baby. She knows going against her father's decree would be very dangerous. Even the daughter of the king cannot violate her father's decree. Nevertheless, she sees a little baby in the water, and she wants to ignore it. She wants to look away. But then the pasuk says, "V'hinei nar boicha." Child was crying. "V'atach malalav." She had mercy. Yaakov Emden says, "You see from here that there are times that even if a person maybe doesn't deserve and doesn't is not roy and is not fit for to be saved, nevertheless, if God sees that we're crying." You can't ignore a crying child. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden.
Force yourself to cry.
What? Force yourself to cry. You don't have to force yourself. The time is, it's an opportune time. You feel it in the air. And there's a very special thing about tears. Because the Gemara tells us in Brachos, if you look at number 2, that Rabbi Elazar said that from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, God locked the gates of prayer. The gates of prayer have been locked. In other words, when we pray, we send the prayers up through the heavens, through the gates. And from the day the temple was destroyed, the gates have been locked. Now, that doesn't mean the prayers can't get in. My front door is also locked, but I could come and I could open it, right? Just because it's locked, it doesn't mean you can't get in. But it's not easy. Not everyone could get in, right? Most people can't get into somebody's locked door. So, the Gemara tells us from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the gates of prayer have been locked. Says the Gemara, V'yafal pi shari tfilo ninalo, even though the gates of prayer have been locked, shari dimalo ninalo. The gates of tears are never locked. Which means, when a person cries, gates are always open. Nothing in the way. No impediment. There's no impediment. The Gemara brings the pasuk, that Hashem says, David HaMelech says, Shema tfilasi Hashem b'shavasi hazina, listen to my prayer. El demasi al techarash, do not be silent to my cry. So we see an amazing thing in the Gemara. The Gemara seems to tell us that when it comes to tears, nothing stands in the way. In fact, the Sefer Chasidim says, a very interesting concept. You know, sometimes we may think, yeah, we're going to daven to Hashem, we're going to cry out to Hashem, but, you know, we have to deserve to be answered. We have to have some good practices, some good righteous behavior. We have to be tzaddik. If we're going to daven, we have to have some reason for Hashem to listen to us. And yet the Sefer Chasidim says it's possible you can have a rasha, a wicked person. He has no masim tovim. He has no good deeds. And nevertheless, Hashem will answer and will give in just by force of his prayer and his crying. Almost like a child comes to a parent, and the child's been naughty, and the child hasn't been listening, and the child doesn't deserve. And you told the child 500 times, look, if you're gonna misbehave again, I told you. If you're not going to clean up your toys, you're not going to the bar mitzvah, you're not going to the wedding. You told the kid 1,000 times. And then finally, The kid just cries and cries, please, I want to go, right? And what's the parent going to say? The parent gives in. That's just the way it is. That's the nature of a father. The father cannot refuse the tears of his son. So Sefer Chassidim says, yeah?
I have one that everybody getting answered. Not everybody can answer the
reverse. Yeah, but we're saying that it's possible for somebody could be completely undeserving, and by the force of his tears, by the force of his supplication, Hashem's going to answer.
You say only the first one? You mentioned the first one?
First what? What do you mean?
The first time that you cried?
No, anytime. Anytime. Tell you something very interesting. We find in the Gemara, there are three types of prayers that are considered extremely effective. Number one, minyan. You down with a minyan. Gemara says that when you down with a minyan, the tefillah has some, definitely is accepted in some way. Right? It says Hashem does not despise the tefillah of a minyan. So even if a person themselves is not worthy, if they come, they down with a minyan, they daven for something, it does something. Guaranteed. Does something. Minyan. Number two, another type of prayer that's considered very effective is a prayer during the 10 days of repentance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Even if you don't have a minyan. In other words, a prayer during the Aser Simei Tshuva has the power of the prayer during the year with a minyan. Obviously, if you have a prayer during Aser Simei Tshuva with a minyan, it's even better. In fact, you can make the case, you know, 1 + 1 doesn't necessarily equal 2. One person could carry 75 pounds. Let's say I could carry 75 pounds, you could carry 75 pounds. Together, we could carry more than 150 pounds. That's right? That's the laws of physics. The synergy, the collective energy of two people is greater than the sum of its parts. So too, minyan is powerful. Aser Simei Tshuva is powerful. Certainly minyan during Aser Simei Tshuva. A third type of prayer is demais, tears. Right? The Gemara says that Shari Dimalei Ninalo, the gates of tears are not locked. These are three types of prayers. The Shulte Givarim brings down a number four that are considered very powerful. So certainly if you're able to combine all three, on Yom Kippur, you have a minyan, it's Aser Simei Tshuva, but demais, very powerful.
Is that
very powerful.
Like most powerful than anything?
Maybe.
We know about the story about Midrash, about Esau, when he cried.
Correct. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know which is the most powerful. It may be that tears is the most powerful.
Sincerity. Sincerity.
You know, the Sfas Emes once asked that if the gates of tears are never locked, so what do you need the door for? Why do you need it? You only need a door if sometimes you lack it. If you never lack it, well, you need a door. So he says...
Only the real tears get it.
Yeah, so he says to weed out the insincere tears. You know, sometimes there are sincere tears and there are insincere tears.
There's also thing says that a man shouldn't cry because it's drying his...
We'll see about that. It's a Gemara in Gittin, Daf Ayin. Yeah. Doesn't say you're not supposed to cry. Gemara in Gittin says... Shmoyne Dvarim... No, dry... It says Shmoyne Dvarim Emayres Hazara. Well, we'll see about that. Okay. We're going to go to number six because we really have a lot to do today. It's very interesting. Let's make the following analogy. We know tefillah is like what? Tefillah is like a carbon, is like a sacrifice, right? We know that tefillos are keneged tamidim niskan. Right? Shachris is like the tamid shel shachar. Mincha is like the tamid shel ben arbayim. Marav is keneged hekter evarim upadarim. The tefillos are karbanos. Right? They're sacrifices. When you daven, it's like an offering to Hashem. Now, by the way, every offering, there's another aspect of the offering. Whenever you would make an offering, you would pour. Right? V'niskehem, chatzi ha-hi, right? V'niskehem. Every carbon has libations. Whether you're pouring wine, you're pouring water, nesachim, right? There's the sacrifice itself, and accompanying the sacrifice, you have the nesachim. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, Parshas Bereishis, that if tefillah is like a sacrifice, then what is the nesach? What is the libation? The tears, the demise that accompany a carbon, that's like the Nisach HaMayim, or the Nisach HaYayin. The Marsha says it's like Nisach HaYayin. These are the libations. The libation of the carbon, every carbon has the sacrifice and the pourings, the tears, that's part of the carbon. That's part of the carbon. That's the Nisach HaYayin, or the Nisach HaMayim even. In fact, Rabbeinu Yonah tells us that when a person davens with tears, the gates of tears are never locked, and the tears that a person is able to bring out during tefillah correspond to the Nisach HaMayim. And he even says, who was the one who introduced the concept of Nisach HaMayim, of tears in tefillah? Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu, the Medrash says, was in Beis El, it says he cried so much and he prayed so much. You want to try to figure out how many tears Yaakov let out, how many pourings he poured? If you could figure out how much water is in the sea in Tiberia, then you'll be able to figure out how many tears Yaakov Avinu brought out. In other words, just like we'll never be able to figure out exactly how much water is in the Mei Tiberia, we'll never be able to figure out exactly how many tears Yaakov Avinu poured forth. So really, the one who introduced the concept of Nisach HaMayim, which is the element of tears and prayer, is Yaakov Avinu. Okay?
Why are you crying?
What?
What's the reason for?
Why was he crying? Why was Yaakov crying? Doesn't say. The Medrash doesn't say. He's running away from Lavan, perhaps. But the idea is that when a person sort of bolsters his tefillah with demais, with tears, it gives it a certain koyach that the Ribbono Shel cannot refuse. Okay? That's the introduction to tonight's shir. I just want to point out one more thing. You know, we have the Tachnon. Right after Shemona Esrei, you have Tachnon. The Ramban had a Rebbe by the name of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yakar who says the whole purpose of Tachnon is we just davened, we just brought a karban, but we didn't bring the Nesach HaMayim yet. The purpose of Tachnon is designated to be Yorei Demais, to let out tears, and that will accompany the Tefillah of the Shemona Esrei. Okay, that's the introduction to the Shir. Again, the introduction is that especially
what
we said
that you don't have Tachnon, but you don't have Nesach HaMayim.
Yeah, not every carbon had Nesach HaMayim. Not every carbon had Nesach HaMayim.
Too much.
Rabbi, can I ask you a question? When we say that Hashem wants you to daven, right?
Yeah.
What is that for yourself, for things that you want, for things that you don't want, for things that you maybe... Ooh.
We'll have to talk about it at a different time.
What do you mean? What are you davening? What is davening? What does he want you to do? Let's say you want something really bad. You have a daven for that you want it bad?
Yeah.
Try it? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Yes?
But we'll talk about that. We have a lot to do. We're going to have to stay on a very narrow track tonight. Very narrow track. Okay?
I hope we have a wide end.
Narrow track, but okay. So again, the idea that we're saying is that when a person is able to be Yorei Demois, when a person is able to bring out tears, that is a very powerful way to have your tefillos accepted. Rabbi Yaakov Emden specifically mentions tears by Ne'ila, and tears is a way of eliciting God's mercy, like we find that when Moshe Rabbeinu, the baby, was crying, Basya had mercy on him, despite the fact that she knew her father would not want her to save him. Okay, now we're veering, even though we're on a narrow track, we're making a very sharp left-hand turn to the end of this week's parsha. The end of this week's parsha, we have 8 very interesting pesukim. And the beginning, if you look at the 8th to last pasuk of the Torah,
v'zois habracha,
it's the parsha that we're not learning at the Shabbos, but Monday and Thursday we're learning v'zois habracha, so that's the parsha that's upon us right now, all right? The puzzle, the 8th to last pasuk says the following. Vayamas sham Moshe Eved Hashem. Moshe, the faithful servant of God, died. And the question is, who wrote these words? Presumably, we know, the Torah is Zechru Torah's Moshe. It's Moshe's Torah. And presumably, Moshe wrote this also. So, could someone please tell me? Moshe's writing, and Moshe, the servant of Hashem, died? Was he alive when he wrote that? A dead man can't write, right? That we know. So he was alive. And so he, a living man, he's writing, he died. Ein lecha sheker gadol mizutz. Biggest lie in the world. Right? We make a bracha of Nasalanu Tairas Emes. God gave us, besides this shul, He gave us a true Torah. And, He gave us a true Torah. And here, the eighth to last pasuk is, Daya Moshe Moshe, Moshe died. What do you mean, Moshe? Who wrote that? Moshe wrote a sheker in the Torah. Oh, and they buried him. Yeah, they buried him. Was he alive when they wrote that? And no one knows where he's buried. He's walking around, you know, writing. And Moshe died, and they buried him, and no one knows where he's buried until this very day. And he's buried opposite Baal Pa'ar. A living man wrote that in the Torah. So Rashi says, look at number 10. Efshir Moshe meis v'kasav ayam Hashem Moshe. Is it possible that Moshe died? And he wrote, Moshe died? Ela ad kan kasav Moshe. Until the eighth to last pasuk in the Torah, Moshe wrote. Mikan ve'elach, from here and on, kasav Yehoshua. Yehoshua ben Nun wrote the last eight psukim. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. And in the Gemara, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That Moshe did not write the last eight psukim of the Torah. Can you imagine?
Do you hold the opinion that he wrote it?
What?
Okay. Do you hold the position?
Yes.
The opinion that he wrote
yeah.
It?
I think it's a big machlokas.
Very good. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that Moshe Rabbeinu cannot have written a lie in the Torah, and therefore the last eight psukim were written by Yehoshua. Rabbi Meir Oimer.
Yeshua said it's true also.
What?
Yeshua had to say it's true.
No, Yeshua wrote it after he died.
Yeah, it makes sense because Moshe put his hands on Yeshua, so he gave him his power.
What's very difficult is that Yehoshua was not on the level of Moshe, and what Yehoshua wrote in Sefer Yehoshua was on the level of Nevi'im. So to say that the last day of Sukkim was written by someone other than Moshe is very problematic. But that's what Rabbi Yehuda says.
Constatation of the fact that what happened that Moshe died and they buried him.
But to give the Torah the stat, who wrote the first Torah? Presumably we always believe it's the Moshe gave us the Torah, and yet Rabbi Yehuda holds that no, the last eight psukim Yehoshua wrote, and we'll see. We're gonna have to speak about that. What that means.
You know, another argument with respect to that after Moshe put his hands on Yeshua and he was no longer. The supreme leader of the B'nai Yisrael, that he basically was not considered as living, because he had asked Hashem to let him stay on.
And then he couldn't take it. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu said, worse one act, one jealousy is worse than many deaths. Okay. Right. But that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The last eight psukim were written by Yehoshua ben Nun. Rav Meir says, no! You're going to tell me Moshe Rabbeinu did not write the last eight psukim? You know what that means? And at the end of the Torah, it says Moshe went to the Levium and he said, L'koach ha-sefer ha-Torah hazeh, take this Torah. Now that Torah that Moshe is presenting to the Levium, I have two Levium here. Did it have the last eight psukim? Obviously not, if Moshe didn't write it. That means Moshe is saying, take this sefer Torah. It's not a sefer Torah. If a sefer Torah is missing one letter, is it kosher? No, is it a sefer Torah? It's not a sefer Torah. So how can Moshe say, take this sefer Torah? So says Rav Meir, Efshir Sefer Torah Chaser Klum V'hu Omer L'Koach Sefer Torah Zeh Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oimer. God dictated the Torah to Moshe. He said, Moshe, write this. O Moshe Koisev Bedema. Moshe wrote it with tears. Says Rav Meir, now let me tell you what happened with the last eight psukim. God dictated the Torah to Moshe. He said, Moshe, write Vayamas. Moshe wrote Vayamas. But Moshe said, no, I'm not using it. I'm using tears. He wrote it. Well, we'll see what that means. Moshe did not write the last eight psukim in the regular way. He wrote it bedema. He wrote it with tears. Now, the Gemara in Baba Basra, I'll speak it out outside, says there is a interesting halacha about the last eight psukim that you don't find anywhere else in the Torah. Anywhere else in the Torah, let's say, you know, a guest walks into shul and you want to give him an aliyah. So you can make it a hosafa, right? You can make an extra aliyah. And you stop, Yamoid, the Pliny ben Pliny, Asiri, you know, you give as many aliyahs as you want. But when you get to the last eight psukim in the Torah, you're not allowed to make any breaks in the last eight psukim. So the Gemara says, why? What's different about the last eight psukim? It must be like the opinion that the last eight psukim Yehoshua wrote and not Moshe, and to symbolize and to make clear that the last eight psukim are different, you're not allowed to make any hefsek in the last eight psukim. Then the Gemara says, no. It could be Moshe wrote the last eight psukim. If this halacha that you're not to make any interruption fits in, even according to the opinion that Moshe wrote the last eight psukim, but since he wrote it in a different way, since he wrote it bedema with tears, so that would also explain why you can't make a hefsek. But it's clear that the last eight psukim are different than any of the other psukim. Says Mizrahi, we've quoted him many times. What does it mean? What is the opinion exactly? At least the opinion of Rameir, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the last eight psukim with tears. What does that mean? Mizrahi says, "Veloy b'diyai." He didn't use ink. That's the simple explanation. In other words, you know, they say the Chasam Sofer every Yom Kippur, he would fill up a cup with tears, and when it came to the Sudas HaMafsekas, he would dip the bread in tears. You know, great people, they're able to cry a lot. Right? We're lucky if we could squeeze out, you know, get a little teary. You know, we make believe we cry, we take out a tissue. Right? It's hard to squeeze out one tear. But great people, they're able to cry a lot. So, says Mizrahi, Moshe did not write the last eight psukim with ink. You know, he used tears. In fact, this fits very good into...
His
tears? The Gemara says that Moshe's face shone.
But he had a special tear? How you can write with tears?
Okay, good question. That's what the Mizrahi says. That's what the Mizrahi says, that he wrote it with tears. Why did he write it with tears? Listen carefully to what the Mizrahi says. Because he wanted the last eight psukim to be different. He wanted to be that when you read the last eight psukim, you're not allowed to interrupt. So therefore, he intentionally wrote it with tears so that they should have a different halacha, and you should not be able to interrupt the last eight psukim. That's what the Mizrahi says. Comes along Maral. What does that mean? He didn't want you to make an interruption, and therefore he wrote it with tears. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara doesn't say that he wanted the halacha to be that you can't make an interruption, therefore he intentionally wrote it differently. It's just the opposite. Because he wrote it differently for whatever reason, therefore the halacha developed that you're not allowed to make an interruption. Okay, whether you get that question or not, but the main question that the Gor Ariyeh brings up is that Gavi seems to be bothered by it. Let me ask you a question. Let's say, you know, you're a sofer. David, you ever want to be a sofer? Maybe you're a sofer, you decide one day you're going to be a sofer for a few weeks. And you say, yeah, the ink? Yeah, ink. Who needs ink? I'm going to cry a little bit, and I'm going to write a couple of words with tears. Anybody know what's the halachic status of that Sefer Torah? It's puzzle. You can't write a Sefer Torah with tears. So what's the Gor Ariyeh talk? What's the Mizrahi talking about? That Moshe wrote the last eight psukim with tears, then he wrote a puzzle Sefer Torah. Imagine if he wrote it with crayons. It's no different. Very nice. He's a big tzaddik and he has holy tears. And we'll sell the tears on Gift World. And we'll market them, right? There's a big skula to drink the tears of a big tzaddik and everyone's going, very nice. But it's a puzzle Sefer Torah, right? Maybe it's a new fad. We'll sell the tears of tzaddikim, right?
Better than the air.
What?
Better than the air.
Miracles. The tears got into ink.
It turned into ink? I don't know. But what is it? You can't write, you can make miracles. Miracles are very nice, but they don't change the halacha. You need to use ink. So the Gor Ariyeh says something amazing. Gor Ariyeh says, let me ask you a question. According to Rav Meir, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the last eight psukim in the Torah. With what did he write it? Tears. Yeah, but Moshe still wrote something that's not true. Moshe wrote, Vayama Shal Moshe. Moshe died. But it's not true. I don't care what he wrote it with. He could write it with magic marker. He could write it with permanent marker. He could write it with a paintbrush. He could write with tears. How could he write something that's not true? Vayama Shal Moshe. Says the Gor Ariyeh, following. It doesn't mean he wrote it with tears. He wrote it bedema. If it wanted to say he wrote it with tears, it would have said bedema ois, with tears. Bedema doesn't mean with tears. Bedema means while he was crying. Like hazorim bedema, berina yitzara, those who plant with tears. What does it mean, those who plant with tears? Instead of putting seeds in the ground, they put tears in the ground? No, it means as they're putting the seeds in the ground, they're crying. So when it says Moshe wrote it with tears, it means Moshe wrote it with ink, but because it was such a sad episode, and because he had to write that he was dying, he wrote it while he was crying. Okay. So that's what it means, bedema. Not that he wrote it with the ingredient in his... He put on his quill tears. He put on his quill ink. But he wrote it while he was crying. asked the Maharal, how can you write a lie? How can you write that Moshe died? Okay, this is the meat of the shir. You ready? He's not lying. Because since he was crying, that was the beginning of his death. Says the Maharal, because he was crying, that was the beginning of his death. So it's true. He could write, Vayama Shamosha, Moshe died. Because he was dying. That was the Haskalah Samisa.
Yeah, but he knew that he was going to die.
Yeah, but you can't write something that didn't happen.
He knew that he was going to die. You tell God, God told him, go to the mountain.
But dying doesn't mean die. He wasn't dead. He was dying.
It says you're going to die over there.
In a way, he was dead. Some of him had died.
Like he said before, when Hashem said, Moshe said, Ani yotzev nechnas.
Yeah.
He's like, he was losing his power already.
No, it said,
he said, I can't.
Although you chalavo, yeah, right?
He's already
correct.
Losing his, and he lost a little bit. Or as soon as he anointed Yeshua, he lost some of his authority to God. Hashem gave him like a.
But those are the words of the Maharal. That it was because he was crying, that was the beginning of his death. Okay? Remember those words? We're going to come back to that. We're going to take a brief, excuse the expression, we're going to have like a little, not a commercial, but we're making a right, quick, sharp right turn. Okay? Sharp right turn, but we're going to come back. Again, the Maharal, let's just remember that. The Maharal says, that what does it mean that Moshe wrote the Torah with tears? It doesn't mean he used tears. It means he was crying when he wrote it. But, so how could he write he was dying? Since he was crying, that was the beginning of his death, and we'll explain that. Comes along the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says something incredible. The Vilna Gaon asks, he says, both of these opinions are very difficult to understand. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says that Yehoshua ben Nun wrote the last eight psukim. How could that be? Moshe tells the Bnei Levi, take this Sefer Torah. What, the Torah is missing eight psukim? And what about, and Rameir also doesn't make any sense. Rameir says Moshe wrote it with tears? What do you mean he wrote it with tears? It's not a kosher Sefer Torah. So listen to what the Gra says. What's the problem? Right? We asked that how can Moshe write Vayama Shal Moshe that Moshe died? But he didn't die yet. What's the problem? The Gemara tells us that the Torah was given in what generation of the world? Anybody know? The 26th generation. 974. Did the Torah exist before the Torah was given?
Yes.
Yeah.
Before creation of the world.
Did the Torah exist before the creation of the world?
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Like we say every morning, Davar Tziva Le'elefdar. God commanded the Torah after 1,000 generations. That means 974 generations before the world was created, there was a Torah. Could somebody please tell me what it said in that Torah? It said, Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim ve'es ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. How could God write that in the Torah if it didn't happen? It's false. It said that the people of the Dor HaMabul would sin and God would bring a flood. It's false.
Why is it false?
Because how could it say God brought a flood? He didn't bring a flood. He will bring a flood in the future, but he can't write.
Yeah, but for God, there's no time. God is not limited by time. He's not limited by
God's
time.
Forward, backwards, upwards. He's everywhere.
So how could it say in the past tense that he did it already?
In the
if you want to say it is, if you want to say it is.
For Hashem, it's now.
Fine.
Now, 1,000 years from now.
So then it shouldn't say it in the past. It shouldn't say it in the tense that it's in. It should just say.
You're saying and I'm destroying.
No, but.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. You're right. God created time, so he's beyond time. But beyond time means it's all the same. So why would it specifically say it in the past? So let's.
For us, it happened in the past. But
what do you mean for us? There is no us.
What do you mean there is no us?
When he wrote it, before the world was created, there was.
Right, but he wrote. When
how could he wrote in the beginning God created? He didn't create. There was no beginning. It didn't happen yet.
Right.
God's going to write Korach's rebellion against Moshe before it happened?
No, but for God there is no beginning or end, but for us there is. And Lord for us, that's the choice.
Yeah, but what about the Pchirah?
Okay.
Pchirah in this case.
Okay. Listen to what the Vilna Gaon says. When we say that the Torah existed before the world was created, it doesn't mean Doesn't mean that. Obviously, God's not going to write something that didn't happen yet. What it means is, how do we know that we have to make Berachas HaTorah every day? How do we know that before we learn, we have to make Berachas HaTorah? There's a pasuk that says, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, when you read the name of God, Havu Godel Elokeinu, you have to praise Hashem. So when you read the name of God, you need to praise Hashem. What does that have to do with Berachas HaTorah? The Torah is the name of Hashem. The 600,000 letters of the Torah are different combinations, permutations of Hashem's name. Okay, so the Torah that existed before the world was created was these 600,000 letters. How was it arranged? Only God knew. God knew how to arrange the Torah, how to combine the letters in a way that it represents Hashem's name. And as the events happened, God would tell Moshe, okay, write the following, combine the letters like this, Bereshis, Bara, right? And as things happened, God sort of allowed the revealed part of the Torah to come to the world. So when we say the Torah existed before the world was created, it means these letters existed. But as things developed, God showed the Moshe how to arrange the letters. So says the Vilna Gaon, the word dema, the word, when it's saying Moshe wrote a bedema, dema doesn't only mean tears. Dema means a mixture.
It's also sweat. Like
yeah?
That means you're walking out. You're doing something very
Azam Bedima? Rav Sham Shmuel Hirsch says that tears are the sweat of the soul. So. But anyway, Dema in Mishnayos means when you have Truma, that, right, Truma, if a non-Kohen eats Truma, he's Chayav Misa. What if Truma falls into Chulin, regular food? So it depends. In a certain percentage, it becomes batal, it becomes nullified. If it's less than a certain percentage, it prohibits the whole mixture. When Shuma falls into Chulin, it's called Dema. In fact, in Chumash, Dema is called Shuma. Shuma is called Dema. There's a pasuk, Malei Ascha v'dema acha leisa acher. Malei Ascha means Bikurim v'dema acha. And your tears, it doesn't mean tears. And your Truma, don't delay. So the word Dema means a mixture. Says the Vilna Gaon, there is no machlokes at all between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Everyone agrees Yehoshua ben Nun wrote the last eight psukim. Everyone agrees Moshe wrote the last eight psukim. How could that be? Like this. The whole Torah is the names of Hashem. Moshe was told and instructed by Hashem how to put the letters together. When it came to the last eight psukim, what happened? Moshe obviously can't put the letters together. Vayama Sham Moshe Eved Hashem. So what did Moshe do? He wrote it bedema, he wrote it mixture. He wrote it in a discombobulated way, the way it existed in by Hashem before God gave us the Torah. So Moshe wrote the entire Sefer Torah. The whole Torah until the last eight psukim. And the last eight psukim he wrote bedema. Bedema means he didn't formulate the words. He left it as the secret combination of the name of Hashem. Yehoshua then, after Moshe died, he figured out, Hashem told him, how to put the words together.
The letters together.
The letters together.
He could have wrote...
So in other words, when Moshe presented the Sheva Levi, the Sefer Torah, was it missing the last eight psukim? Chas v'shalom. The last eight psukim were there. The letters were there. But, and if you want to know, how would the Jewish people have read that Sefer Torah? They would have read it, the last eight psukim, in a discombobulated way. They wouldn't have known. Yehoshua ben Nun, it was revealed to him how to formulate the last eight.
But isn't it the pasul? Even if you put it not in the right order, it's not going to be pasul?
It's only pasul when that is revealed to the world. But before it's revealed to the world, that is the Torah. That is the Torah as of this moment. That is the way God has revealed the Torah.
Torah is not pasul until you don't find that it's pasul.
Correct. And meaning that aspect of the Torah had not been given yet. Okay, it's an amazing thing. The Gra says there's no machlokas at all between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. All agree the last eight psukim Moshe wrote. All agree Yehoshua wrote it.
So how was that an argument?
Moshe, they're just pointing out there's a concept elu ve'elu devar elokim chayim. Rabbi Yehuda is pointing out the idea that Moshe could not actually write the revealed part because he can't write Vayama Shem Moshe if it didn't happen. And Rabbi Meir is pointing out, well, he had to write something, otherwise it would have been a Sefer Torah Pasul, and therefore Moshe wrote the discombobulated letters, Yehoshua formulated them. Okay? Moshe gave the Levim a Torah. That's the exact way we have the Torah now, except the last eight psukim, they were letters that were unformulated. That's what he gave the Shevet Levi.
He gave this before.
Correct.
So but when the Levi opened the book,
they read it.
It was different already?
No, when they opened the book, I think the Vilna Gaon says they read it.
And it was fixed.
No. Before Moshe died, they read it different. It was a different Sefer Torah than our Sefer Torah today.
So it's Pasul.
No, at that time, that's the Torah. What? Okay. Back to the Maral. You ready? Ready for this? Says Maral. Question? Yeah. Demai is Suffek Maisar. Demai is spelled Dalad Mem Aleph Yud. That's Suffek Maisar. Right? And Am Aretz, if you don't know the status of his food, we say it's Demai, it's a Suffek. Presumably he took it up, but he's Suffek. Dema is when it's mixed. Two different words, they sound almost the same, but it's Demai is Suffek, Dema is mixed. Back to Maral. Maral says that Moshe didn't write it with tears. Moshe wrote it with ink, but he wrote it while he was crying. How could he write, and Moshe died? The answer is because he was crying, it's as if he began to pass away already. What does this mean? I was thinking a little bit, what are tears? Where do they come from?
Sweat.
Where does the liquid come from? Does it come just so you have a gland in your eye that produces, where does the moisture come from? Maral says something very interesting in a couple of places. He says that tears are really the beginning of the body losing its kayach. When a person lets out tears, he's losing a certain element of strength, of kayach. It's like the breakdown of the guf. I didn't really understand why exactly.
It's kind of a release. When you cry, it's kind of a release.
Okay, you're releasing anxiety, tension, right? Psychologists would tell you it's good to let out your emotions. I want to know where, according to the Torah, do the tears, where does that liquid come from?
You're not in control, you're like losing.
Says Chasam Sofer, there's a pasuk in Tanakh, Va'eshbaich es nafshi lefnei Hashem. I pour out my soul before God. Could somebody please tell me, what do you mean I pour out my soul before God? Then what, you're dead? What does it mean to pour out your soul before God? How do you pour out your soul before Hashem? Right? You ever hear, I poured out my soul. How do you pour out your soul? You take your soul and you put it in a cup? Or, Shivchi kamayim libech. Pour out like water my heart. What do you mean pour out my heart? It's a very nice expression to pour out your heart. What does it mean? You make a heart transplant and you pour it out? Says Chasam Sofer. You want to know where tears come from? Every person, where is the main blood of the body? In the heart. It's called Dam HaNefesh. The blood of the heart is Dam HaNefesh. Says Chasam Sofer, when a person cries, the blood of the heart is transformed into tears. And it's a type of... you're literally giving up your nefesh. In a way, you're giving up your living force. The tears, that's what he says, the tears of the eyes come from the blood of the heart. Look at number 20. Chasam Sofer says, he takes it for granted. He takes it as a davar pasha. He says, Yadua, ki demois einayim bois midam halev. The tears of the eyes come from the blood of the heart. Ha mishapech lamayim, that's transformed into water, al yidei daiga v'shivin ruach, through worry and a broken heart. Kamasha kasav, like the pasuk says. Ba'eshbech esnafshi lefnei Hashem. I pour out my soul before God. What do you mean I pour out my soul? What it means is if a person's able to cry, he's pouring out his soul. Why is he pouring out his soul? Because he's taking the blood of the heart, he's transforming the blood of the heart, that's his nefesh, and he's letting it out. He's pouring out his soul in front of God, because his soul, the blood of the heart is his soul, the blood of the heart is his soul, and the tears are being transformed from his soul. When a person says, Shivchi kamayim libech, you're pouring out your heart? What do you mean you're pouring out? Yeah, you're pouring out your heart. You're literally pouring out your heart. How? Because your heart, the blood of the heart is being transformed into tears. You're literally pouring out your heart. So we have a little bit of a better understanding what the Maral means. That once Moshe Rabbeinu started davening, That was the beginning of his Misa. Why is that the beginning of his Misa? Because tears are literally Sila Kanefesh. In a way, it's a type of Mesiras Nefesh. It's a way, your soul is departing in a way. It's the ultimate Mesiras Nefesh. It's the ultimate way, ultimate sacrifice to Hashem. You can't literally be Moser Nefesh, but when a person cries, he's saying, Hashem, help me out, I give you everything, just help me. You're giving your heart to God. How do you give your heart to God? The tears is a transformation of the blood of the heart, says the Chasam Sofer. Another very interesting thing you're talking before, the Gemara says eight things, you know, the Rambam says, what is the Kayach Adam, is the Zera, person's seed, is the main force, the main Kayach of a person. The Gemara says that when a person cries, it's Mamayit, it's HaZera. Because the tears somehow are a way of sapping, it's the critical energy of the body you're giving over to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The core energy, the heart, the lev, you can't give your lev to Hashem. Chasam Sofer says the tears somehow, you're actually transforming whatever element of your heart you can, and you're giving it to Hashem.
And you're not supposed to do that.
No, you are supposed to do that. Rabbi Yisai, if you look at when the Torah talks about Yom Kippur, it says, Ki bayom hazeh yichaper aleichem, right? Ki bayom hazeh. Point out, Ki bayom hazeh yichaper aleichem is Rashi Tevos Bechia. It's one of the main objectives of Yom Kippur, like we saw from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. That's one of the avod of Yom Kippur, where the Shari Demois Leininalu, the gates of tears are never locked. Why are they never locked? Because Maral says that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Beis HaMikdash represents all type of growth and development and building. When a person lets out tears, it's actually the greatest form. You're giving your entire body. You're giving your heart to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We'll have to elaborate on that a different time. Let's just point out a few more things. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the last eight psukim. The question is, how could he write psukim that didn't happen yet? So his point is, since he was crying, that was the beginning of his Misa. Lots and we're explaining what that means is, because, like Chasam Sofer says, when a person cries, that's the Dam HaNefesh, and you're literally, like the Pasuk says, Shivchi Kamayim Libech, where he says, Ve'eshbech es nafshi lefnei Hashem, when a person cries, you're literally giving your nefesh to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the beginning of the Misa. It's Sila Kanefesh. The Bechia, the Demois, was Sila Kanefesh. That was the beginning of his soul departing. In fact, Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshit said something very interesting. Remember, we learned in the beginning of the Shir that from the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the gates of tears have been locked. Says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshit. That means if we were to go up into space, we would see a big gate, yeah? With hundreds and thousands of tefillos just like hanging in midair, you know, trying to get in. Let me in! And they're not going through. Says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshit, but we know the gates of tears are never locked. So you know what that means? He says, if a person is able to daven one tefillah with tears, the tefillah of tears schleps along all the thousands of tefillos the person may have said in his life without kavana. The tefillah of tears brings all of those, he says, years worth of prayer. That tefillah of the demais is able to schlep along all of those demais.
There's a certain amount that you need to dry it.
Even a little bit is good. Even one tear, right? You pointed out. Esav, right?
Three is right.
One is also good.
But the question is, you emphasize that Share Tfilah Ninalu.
Yeah.
It's not accurate. So what does it mean?
No. The Meiri says, by the way, Meiri says, it doesn't mean you can't get through. It doesn't mean you can't get through. It just means it's not easy to get through. Let's just end off with the following thing. We brought down from many sources that a tefillah is like a karban, and what's the nisach hamayim? The tears are the nisach hamayim. Who remembers? Who was the first one to institute the nisach hamayim of tears?
Yaakov
Avinu. Torah tells us we have three yamim tovim. Each one is connected one of the avos. Avram Avinu is Pesach. Yitzchak is Shavuos. Yaakov Avinu. Shenemar, v'Yaakov, v'Yaakov Sukkos, right? Yaakov can, But it's very interesting. Not only was Yaakov Niskan Sukkos, but he was also, what mitzvah do we have on the main one of the main mitzvahs of Sukkos is B'nisa Chamayim. Who instituted that? Yaakov Avinu. Through what? Through his demos of tefillah. So perhaps we find that there's a very big link between Yom Kippur and Sukkos. We find there's an idea that the tshuva, the simcha of Sukkos is really the happiness of achieving full kapara on Yom Kippur. So perhaps we could suggest that the whole idea of Nisa Chamayim on Sukkos is really all those demos, all those tears that we let out on Yom Kippur, and all the tshuva that we do on Yom Kippur, in sadness and in sorrow, for Zocha to do a full tshuva, then when Sukkos comes, we're able, Hazorim Bedima, Berina Yitzorod. All those tears, the Baruch Hashem gives us a special mitzvah of Nisa Chamayim, we're able to rejoice in the closeness we've achieved over the Yom Noraim, and we're able to transform that into a tremendous simcha, because Baruch Hashem, if we take the opportunity and take advantage of the Yom Noraim to do proper tshuva, all those tears, all those bechios, which Rabbeinu Bechaye and the Marsha and Rabbeinu Yonah told us are the Nisa Chamayim, taka, they are the Nisa Chamayim on Sukkos, and that's the simcha we have on Sukkos. Rabbi Isai, Gemara Chasima Toiva, Guka Ben Shah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.